It's a Dirty World by Charles Bukowski. I drove along Sunset late one evening, stopped for a signal, and at a bus stop, saw this dyed redhead with a brutal and ravaged face, powdered, painted, that said, "This is what life does to us." I could imagine her drunk, screaming across the room at some man, and I was glad that man wasn't me. She saw me looking at her and waved, "Hey, how about a ride?" "Okay," I said, and she ran across two lanes of traffic to get in. We drove along and she showed me a bit of leg. Not too bad. I drove not saying anything. "I want to go to Alvarado Street," she said. I figured as much. That's where they hung out. From 8th and Alvarado on up. The bars across the park and around the corners. All the way up to where the hill began. I'd sat in those bars for quite a few years and knew the action. Most of the girls just wanted a drink and a place to stay. In those dark bars, they didn't look too bad. We approached Alvarado. "Can I have 50 cents?" she asked. I reached in and got 2 quarters. "I have to be able to cop a feel for that." She laughed. "Go ahead." I pulled her dress back and pinched her gently right where the stocking ended. I almost said, "Shit, let's get a 5th and go to my place." I could see myself stabbing that thin body. I could almost hear the springs. Then I could see her later, sitting in a chair, cursing and talking and laughing. I passed. She got out at Alvarado and I watched her walking across the street trying to shake it like she had something. I drove on. I owed the state $606 income tax. I'd have to skip a piece of ass now and then. I parked outside the Chinaman's and went in and got a bowl of chicken wonton. The guy sitting to my right had his left ear missing. There was just a hole in his head. A dirty hole with a lot of hair around it. No ear at all. I looked into the hole and then went back to the chicken wonton. It didn't taste as good. Then another guy came and sat on my left. He was a bum. He ordered a cup of coffee. He looked at me. "Hello, Wino," he said. "Hello," I answered. "Everybody calls me Wino, so I thought I'd call you one." "That's all right. I used to be one." He stirred his coffee. Those little bubbles on top of the coffee. There. Mother used to say that meant money was coming my way. It didn't work out that way. Mother? This man once had a mother? I finished my bowl and left them there, the guy without an ear and the bum looking at the bubbles in his coffee. This is turning out to be a hell of a night, I thought. Guess not much more can happen. I was wrong. I decided to walk across Alameda to buy some stamps. The traffic was heavy and they had a young cop directing traffic. There was some action going on. A young man in front of me kept hollering at the cop. "Come on, let us across, what the hell? We've been standing here long enough." The cop kept waving the traffic through. "Come on, what the hell's wrong with you?" the kid yelled. This kid's gotta be nuts, I thought. He was nice looking, young, big, around 6'3", 200 pounds. White t-shirt. Nose a little too big. He might have had a few beers, but he wasn't drunk. Then the cop blew his whistle and motioned for the crowd to cross. Then the kid stepped into the street. "All right, come on everybody, it's safe now. It's safe to cross." "That's what you think, kid," was my thought. The kid was waving his arms. "Come on, everybody." I was walking right behind him. I saw the cop's face. It got very white. I saw the eyes narrow to slits. He was a short, heavy-set young cop. He moved toward the kid. Oh, Jesus, here it comes. The kid saw the cop moving toward him. "Don't you touch me. Don't you dare touch me." The cop grabbed him by the right arm, said something to him, tried to guide the kid back to the curbing. The kid broke the grip and walked off. The cop ran up behind him, got a hammerlock on the kid. The kid broke out of that and then they were scuffling, whirling around. You could hear their feet in the street. People stood and watched from a distance. I was right on top of them. Several times I had to step back as they scuffled. I didn't have any goddamn sense either. Then they were up on the sidewalk. The cop's hat flew off. That's when I got a bit jumpy. The cop didn't look much like a cop without his cap. But he still had his club and his gun. The kid broke away again and started to run off. The cop leaped on him from behind, got an arm around his neck and tried to pull him over backwards, but the kid just stood there. And then he broke free. Finally, the cop had him pinned against an iron guardrail outside a Standard Station parking lot. A white kid and a white cop. I looked across the street and saw 5 young blacks grinning and watching. They were lined up against a wall. The cop had his cap back on and was leading the kid down the street to a call box. I went in and got my stamps out of the machine. It was a screwy night. I almost expected a snake to drop out of there, but I just got stamps. I looked up and saw my friend Benny. Did you catch the action, Benny? Yeah. When they get him to the station, they'll put on leather gloves and beat the hell out of him. You think so? Sure. The city's just like the country. They beat the hell out of them. I just got out of the new county jail. They let the new cops work out on the prisoners there to get experience. You could hear them screaming as the cops beat them. They brag about it. While I was in, one cop walked past and said, I just beat the hell out of a wino. I've heard about it. They allow you one phone call, and this guy was on the phone too long, and they kept telling him to get off. He kept saying, just a minute, just a minute. And finally, one cop got pissed and hung the phone up, and the guy screamed, I've got my rights, you can't do that. What happened? About four cops grabbed the guy. They took him so fast that his feet didn't even touch the ground. They took him in the next room. You could hear him. They worked him over good. You know, they had us there, bending over, looking up our asses, looking at our shoes for dope. And they brought the kid out naked, and he was bent over and trembling, shivering. You could see red welts all over his body. They just left him there, trembling against the wall. He had really had it. Yeah, I said. I was driving past a Union rescue mission one night, and two cops in a squad car were picking up a drunk. A cop got in the back seat with the drunk, and I heard the drunk say, you dirty motherfucking cop. And I saw the cop take his club and jam the end of it, hard, right into the guy's stomach. It was a hell of a blow, and made me a little sick. It could have broken the stomach open or caused internal bleeding. Yeah, it's a dirty world. You said it, Benny. See you around. Watch yourself. Sure. You too. I found the car and drove on back up Sunset. When I got to Alvarado, I turned down and drove down nearly to 8th Street. I parked, got out, found a liquor store and bought a fifth of whiskey. Then I walked into the nearest bar. There she was, my redhead with a brutal face. I walked up, patted the fifth. Let's go. She finished the drink and walked out behind me. Nice evening, she said. Oh yeah, I answered. When we got to my place, she went to the bathroom and I rinsed out two glasses. There's no way out, I thought. There's no way out of anything. She came to the kitchen, put herself up against me. She had put on fresh lipstick. She kissed me, working her tongue around in my mouth. I lifted her dress and got a handful of panty. We stood under the electric light, locked. Well, the state would have to wait a little longer for their income tax. Maybe Governor Duke Magian would understand. We broke, I poured two drinks, and we walked into the other room.